Hello?
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 Hello.
Good evening.
How are you? Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Yeah, because he refused to be stressed.
All right.
You said all right, huh?
That's right.
I'm logging into the system so I can see who all is here. And then we will do our wonderful customary introductions and... And then we're going to have Bible study. Praise
the Lord.
I think I heard my daughter, Hawanda. My daughter, Itina.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, Lottie.
Hello.
Hey, Brother Wilson.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. And we have... Now I got this messed up last week. Angelia Perales, but it was someone else. Who's that again?
It's Isaac.
Isaac, God bless you. Thank you for coming back, Isaac. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm going to go around the room until we're going to give it until about 5:40. For people to join, but I want to just go around the room and do the traditional check-in on your week and see how it's going. I'm going to start with Isaac today, though. If you don't mind, Isaac, share with us. How's your week going?
So far, pretty good. We have a short week this week. Today is actually my Friday, so I get 4 days off. But it's been pretty busy. Had a little struggle in the beginning of the week, but you know, just time is what it takes to you know, just
yeah, time
to walk
and
away
patience.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, and patience with yourself, Isaac. Right?
Oh yeah.
Be kind to Isaac.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, you know, we have such a high expectation, and we forget that progress is better than perfection.
Mm-hmm.
If I can string together 5 hours of being a better person, I did something today. So you can steal that from me and have me focusing on the one or two things I did in the other hours. It's the 5 hours that's important. Glory to God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen. Got it, Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yes, sir. All right. We also just got joined by, the phone says, Roseman
Cassandra.
Cassandra, God bless you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, Cassandra, I'm wonderful. I always tell people I'm off the chart because I just refuse to stay on it. it ain't been working. I got to stay off that chart, right? I don't need to measure it. I need to be blessed by it. So, Cassandra, tell us a little bit about you and share with us what brought you to Bible study.
Okay. Well, my name is Cassandra, of course. I'm 49 years old. I just had a birthday on the 14th. Yes. Yes, I am also a good friend to Hawanda. She's on the line. She's invited me. Yes, that's my sister in Christ and love. I'm also a recovering alcoholic and a single mother. Yes. Yes.
For your vulnerability.
Yes. But by God's grace and his mercy, I am here, you know, to share. And
hallelujah.
And a fellowship.
Yes, ma'am. And where do you live?
I live in Birmingham, Alabama.
You're in Birmingham. What's the weather like?
It is wet and rainy now. It stormed horribly today.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a cool off, though, right? Because typically it's very hot in Alabama about this time of the year, right?
Yes, but just because it stormed doesn't mean it cooled off. Alabama.
Oh.
Yes. It's misty now. Hawanda can tell you about it. Alabama, yes, just because it rained doesn't necessarily mean it's cool enough. It's misty and muggy. It's like a sauna.
Yeah, well, as long as the alligators stay in the swamp, don't worry about it.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
When the alligators come out, you got a problem, right?
Right.
There you go. Praise the Lord. Brother Latif, how's your week, sir?
It's actually been going really good because I've been studying spiritual warfare a lot more. And just kind of understanding, you know, different rankings on, you know, the principalities, you know, on this planet, you know, how they go, you know, by rank. And it's really understanding spiritual warfare, you know, in the Bible when, you know, that demon-possessed man, what do you have, like 2,000 demons inside of him, if I'm not mistaken?
Legion.
And when he got delivered, the demons went off into the swine, and the swine committed suicide because it said to the person that, you know, delivered the person, it said, "We are Legion." And Legion translates to almost 2,000, you know, soldiers or 2,000 beings. So once I got to that point, I started really understanding and asking questions about, you know, how to deal with that, you know, people around me and all the principalities around me, the negative spirits and everything. And it's like really getting down to, like, you know, the gist of it and learning how to protect myself and realizing how important it is to pray every single day before you leave the house, because it is war. Like, this is all actual war. Like, these things are actually happening and people don't think that. Right. And, you know, one of the big things, you know, I believe is the belt of truth, if I'm not mistaken. It all boils down, everything that you do, your research, and I'm going to keep this short, all the research boils down to this one thing. Everybody I've watched videos on, studied on, talked to, all say the same thing. And that same thing is, read your Bible.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
I just feel like it's amazing that you talked about the belt of truth, because that's our protection, the full armor, not just our belt. We got to put on the full armor every day.
All right, well, I'm going around the room. Sister Tina, how was your week? Thank you, Latif.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Latif. My week has been amazing. It's all about, everybody said a little piece of it. It's about having patience. It's about understanding the Bible and how the Bible walks with me every day. Even though that I was tired, I was like, I'm going to Bible study today. Because I have been working on Wednesdays and been missing Bible study. But I was like, no, I'm going to Bible study today. You know, so anytime that I can get to be with my spiritual family, I'm going to do it. And I just want to be a part of it. So, yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And we praise God for that. I'm going to go to Sister Hawanda.
Greetings, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be in Bible study where we can learn and glean off each other. But my week has been, it's been good. It's been way better than others have been, even especially with my son being home. It's just, it's been delightful. And I'm grateful things may not be perfect. However, we can just focus on, you know, not the negative, the things that don't go the way we expect them to go, but just, you know, staying focused on even if it's the one thing that is positive, to keep our mind stayed on gratefulness and gratitude, because really when we talk about that spiritual warfare, look, it's in the head. Like, it ain't always outside of the home. It could be in your mind, in your dreams. And that's why it's so important that we put on the full armor of Yah, and that we cover our conscious and our unconscious state, because it is a fight, and we know that the enemy doing his job. We just got to be on ours.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Brother Waller, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry I'm late.
We ain't mad at you, but don't do it again.
No, okay. Right on top of it.
Especially when you're right ready to lead the Bible study. Come on, man. Right? I want to touch, before we go anywhere, Brother Waller, I just want to touch on something that Sister Hawanda said. Because we don't get taught this too much, but before I touch it, Brother Tavon, can you open us up in prayer, sir?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, as we gather together and praise you, give you all the praise and honor and glory. As we come together and grow in your word, grow in your son Jesus, and grow in faith and grace. Please give us something. Nourish us with understanding and revelation tonight. And we leave here a little different than we came. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
I have a question for everybody real quick. Where was Jesus crucified?
You say when?
Where?
Oh, where?
Jerusalem?
That's okay. City?
On the Mount Calvary? Is that right?
Okay.
All yeah. right, now come on, talk to me. Where was it?
Calvary.
Yeah.
Calvary. Calvary.
Yeah, Mount Calvary. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Calvary. Right, so does anybody know what the word Calvary means? Calvary is Italian, right? The Jewish word is Gilgal. The Hebrew is Golgotha, or the other way around. The Greek is Golgotha. The Hebrew is... Okay. So, anybody knows what that word means?
I know we've been over it before. We need
place of the skull.
The place of the skull. So Jesus is, before we get reading, we're going to read through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to the third chapter because for this particular body, we read through the whole book so that we get word in us. Because the only way you're going to ever defeat the enemy is to have a word in season when he tries to attack. If you don't have enough word in you, then what will happen is you'll have to react with your default personality. You have to go to what's already in your mind to try to deal with a problem if you don't have another solution that is scripturally sound. Then I got to go to whatever I think is sound. Does that make sense? So the word, the Italian word Calvary, Golgotha, right? It means the place of the skull. And everything that Jesus did, there was a message behind it. He never did anything without a purpose behind it. Everything is so intricately interwoven in the life that he led because he was not just salvation, and glory to God that he was that. He was not just recompensatory and paid for our sins, praise the Lord for that. But he was also the example of what a man would be like had Adam have never failed. That's why he was called the second Adam. Had Adam have never fallen, all people would be walking just like Jesus did. You would have those same gifts. You would have that same power. You would have that same relationship with God because there had never been any sin in you, right? And you too would have laid hands on the sick. They'd be covered immediately. You too would be walking on water. But sin has sort of kind of crept in over life. And then Satan does something really slick with our sin that we've had in our life. And I want to tell you what he does with it. He messes with your Calvary, your Golgotha. Jesus' last message to his people He died at a place called the place of the skull. What's inside of our skulls?
Brain.
The brain. And so the last point of attack for Satan is your mind.
Right.
And so you have to fight, not with your mind, but to overcome your mind.
Yes.
Let me try it again.
Okay.
Because inside of me, this is why Paul says, those things that I would do, I find myself not doing. Those things I would not do, I do. He was saying, there's this thing taking place in my body, because everything I've ever done has been recorded into my flesh. That's the reason why people who never had sex don't have to have sex. The minute you have sex, you can't stop having it. People who never used crack didn't ever need crack until they had crack, and then they can't stop cracking. People used dope didn't need dope until you use dope, and then the dope becomes a part, because everything is recorded in your members.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
can
so I
have
to control. Say that again.
What'd
you say, Rocky?
Can I add to that real quick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually scientifically proven too, that every cell in your body holds memory. Just want to add that.
Yes, that's
every cell in your body records, and that's why Brother Tavon talks so frequently about, and he likes to use this terminology. Even when you eat, it's information. That the food that goes in sends signals to your brain, tells you it was good for you, good to you. It tells you. And the funny thing about the brain, and this is why so many people are overweight, is that we don't recognize the only thing that your brain survives off of is sugar. Your body needs nutrition. Your brain needs sugar. And so the minute sugar hits you, you have to keep eating it, because your brain will make itself so quickly accustomed to it that it's only happy the more sugar you get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So food also turns into sugar, but it turns so slowly that the brain does not have the level of satisfaction. So when you can tell yourself, and let me go back to Calvary, whenever something that Sister Itina said is so important, I didn't feel like coming, but I said I'm going.
That's right.
I didn't feel like coming, but I said I'm going. One of the things that I've learned over my 27, 28 years of being in Christ is that every time I don't feel like doing something and it's right, I make myself do it, because I
That's
know
right.
it's an attack from Satan to allow me to get my brain to a place where I can relax so much that I don't do what I'm supposed to. It's a trick.
Okay.
Don't ever get yourself tricked. Everything you do, when you don't feel like going to church, that's your time to rush.
Okay.
You don't feel like reading the Bible, or you get sleepy, that's the key to continue to read it, because you have to make sure Satan knows that I am going for the trick, and then he'll stop doing it. Praise the Lord, he will.
He'll stop because he realizes it doesn't work anymore,
and if it ain't working, he'll try something new. And so you'll have to, you know, as it has been said, you go to another level, you just end up fighting a different devil. But you
at least
went to another level, right?
Yeah.
And
I have
to know how to fight Satan, because the Bible says, I would not have you unawares of the ways of your enemy, of your enemy. He's got ways, but you can establish them if you pay attention to how he attacks. You can catch it. Somebody wants to argue with you, it is the enemy bringing that into your life so he can distract you from your destiny, and you have to learn not to argue. You have to learn how to go, I'm going to leave that alone. Say whatever you want to say.
Okay.
Talk. Go on right on ahead. Help yourself. I'm what? I'm no good. I'm low down. I'm dirty. You don't like the way I look. You don't like my perfume. You don't like my cologne. You don't like my hair. You don't like my clothes. You know, I got you. And you got the right to not like none of that stuff. Now let me get on about what I'm doing.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me keep it moving. Because everything that attacks you is only attacking you to keep you from a destiny that God has for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And it's
funny that you're saying that, Pastor, today, because I was reading Matthew 18:15-17, and Jesus says, if someone does something wrong, we should talk to them. But if they don't listen and they won't change, we may need to walk away.
Yep. That is the scripture that's in Matthew, the 7th chapter, that talks about this. It says, learn to agree quickly with your enemy while you can. Agree quickly with your adversary while you can, because if you start arguing with somebody that Satan sent, he goes on to say, because the adversary will be the one that tricks you and have you ended up locked up and in front of the judge.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. So if I argue with you, let me ask you, if you know, I'm going to use the word fool, even though the Bible says you shouldn't call anybody a fool, but the Bible does every now and then. So I'm going to say this. If you argue long enough with somebody that's foolish, who's really the foolish person?
You.
You are. Because you've been tricked by the devil.
You're being tricked.
That's right.
You know they ain't going. You know they're not changing. You know they're not going anywhere with what you say. You know they're not listening. You know they don't hear it. You know they can't feel it. They can't see it. They can't catch the vision of it. So it's really God's way of saying you're wasting your time. Don't do it no more. Praise the Lord.
Right. Praise
all right.
Lord.
Everybody got that? So yes, let's look at that last step. Brother Tavon, we are in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. You want to take it from there, sir?
Yes, sir. I kind of want to say something before we start reading. Just speaking about myself, because what I'm about to read is causing me to say this, because it's something called Christian growth. You know, when you watch your life develop from one level to another, it's like in school going from one grade to another grade. God is taking me to another level. And I've heard that said many a time. The other people even said to me, I hear it a lot, but now I'm seeing what that really means. What is this other level? What is that? You know, and the Bible talks about being blessed and moved from grace to grace and from faith to faith, one level of grace to another. The Bible that he giveth more grace. I received salvation and from Christ and became born again, and I began a new life with Christ. Not the same life that I had before I was born again. It's a new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new kind of man, a new type of being, a new creation.
Hallelujah.
That's the word. That's what the word says. So I look the same physically, but spiritually I look different. If that makes sense. I now have like the light and the nature of God. That's facts. That's not just scripture. This is really true. And the thing about it is the mentality is important to God. The way I think. Because my response determines my destiny. So when we read what we're about to read, the response, the way I think when I read it. Am I just reading it? How do I look at it? How am I approaching the word of God? Do you not know the word is God? But people play so much with scripture.
Come on.
Not knowing that they're playing with God.
Ooh.
This ain't no game, and I look at it like that. So now, my mentality, because my response determines my destiny, you know, Romans and Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Changing the way I think.
Yeah.
Changing is a Greek word, is metamorpho.
Uh-huh.
So it's a metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the change of state from mm-hmm. one state to another, a change in form, the change in glory of my life from one degree to another. Be ye transformed by the way you think. So we can read scriptures, but if the approach is not right, if the way I think is not right, if I don't believe what I'm reading, it's what are we doing? So I'm going to read, and let's take this thing to heart. It's amazing. He's talking to us. I'm just sharing. Okay, here we go. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Paul talking. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able.
Mm.
For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And walk as men. What does that mean? And walk as men. To me, that's telling me we should not just be mere men and women, because we are a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
But who we talking to at this point in time is not thinking this way. They're still mere men in their thinking. For while one said, "I am a Paul." You want me to stop, or you want to say something, Pastor?
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
For a while, one has said, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos." Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. Even as the Lord gave to every man. So these men are just servants. You know, a lot of times, I saw the congregation is praising the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Not God. Not realizing the pastor is a servant. Sent by God for us to get to know God. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Yes, sir.
I know you want to say something, Pastor. Yep. Go ahead. I know you.
I want to ask people what that means to them.
Amen.
That's what I want to say. What did you receive from that? Apollos watered. I planted, but only God can give the increase. Apollos watered. I planted it, but only God can give the increase. How do you hear that?
That means that he planted a seed so that you could receive a message.
But only God can, you can only get the what you deserve from God. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He gave you a tool. I gave you this. I'm sharing this with you. I plant a seed, as people do. They plant seeds and things grow. So I'm sharing this information with you, but you can only receive this from God because I am not God. I'm just sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
So therefore, thank you for that. So therefore, sometimes we see, and I can tell you very, very seriously and clearly, for the first 5 years of my salvation, as soon as somebody said the word pastor, I just immediately had a level of respect for them and a level of honor and even a level of reverence for them. And it took me almost 10 years to recognize that brother don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try it again. Because sometimes titles can fool you.
That's right.
And I'll give you examples of it. When you go to the doctor, you look at the white coat and you think the man knows what he's doing.
Yeah, right.
When you go, it's more men in jail because they believe the lawyer was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably could have did a better job for themselves than the lawyer. But
yes,
titles can throw you completely off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get your, and so Paul is trying to tell us, don't pay attention to titles. Pay attention to your increase.
Mm-hmm,
pay attention to what God did in you. Because every time you had some increase, if you drank and you stopped, that was an increase.
Hallelujah.
Somebody might have planted a seed, but God had to increase it. If you know 28 plus 28 is 56, and you can go out and count up to 56, the teacher gave you the information, but God gave you the increase. And so we so oftenly overlook God, and God has been there all the time.
Amen.
And it's so imperative that we open our eyes to see every increase, every blessing, every storm you got through was God giving you increase.
Amen. Amen.
It's
That's
God's
right.
way of increasing. And so often we run from the storm when all we need to do is recognize I have protection in the storm. He's my umbrella. I don't have to run from everything. I don't have to fret everything. I don't have to sweat everything. I don't have to lay down whenever somebody tries to make me anxiety. I don't have to sit back and be depressed anymore because he came to relieve me of all that. And that's why the new mind becomes so important, because when you allow this mind that was in Christ, that's why he says let. The word let means you got to allow it. It doesn't mean it takes place naturally. It's something I have to allow to take place in me. I have to believe in it and then learn how to trust it. And then every time I do something and get a bad result, I have to know I got to start doing the opposite thing now. Just let me do the opposite. Praise the Lord. So let's go around. What else does that mean to anybody? One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Anybody else?
Okay, I do. I have something to say concerning that. Say seed is planted, but we don't allow the seed to be watered.
Explain
that,
Sister Wanda.
I think it counts to... even when we was talking about casting our pearls among swine, like you can plant a seed or give somebody a solution for a problem, but if they don't take heed to the information or apply it in any kind of way, there's no growth. You know, the situation remains the same. They stay same cycle.
So let me ask another question then. I'm going to ask it another way. So if someone can come and plant a seed of the word, and someone can come along and water it and say something else, that, and then all of a sudden God gives you an increase. Could Satan have been doing the same thing?
Yes.
Could it be that the people that taught you how to smoke dope was a seed?
Yes.
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 Okay, we're sharing.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Because we've been seated. Go ahead, talk.
That's right.
The testimony that I had gave, I think I shared it at church. I had went to the Bahamas and I bought some souvenirs. I bought a few keychains and then I brought a few shot glasses. But it seems like I happened to end up giving the shot glasses to my kids. And then Holy Spirit dealt with me like I literally wasn't able to rest. And then, you know, that's what he was ministering to me as I laid there, like, oh, everything is a seed. This is not just a shot glass. It's a seed that I'm sowing into my kids' life. And took them glasses back and threw them in the trash because them ain't the type of seed I'm sowing my kids' life.
Right.
Can I take that a step further?
Mm-hmm.
So me growing up as a 90s kid, like you said, seeds are everywhere, especially good and bad seeds. But man, I growing up with fake candy cigarettes, fake candy cigars, using shot like glasses to act like I'm taking a shot with some Pepsi or something. Just all these things, all the bad seeds all over the place.
Yes.
What is the biggest seed that's out there right now? Anybody know?
Sexual immorality.
Sexual immorality. That's why you can't watch a commercial. And homosexuality. Sexual immorality and homosexuality. If you pay attention, and I can tell you whether, speaking of seed, the seed of Satan is in Hollywood. Because there's not a television program, even the commercials now. You'll see one woman looking at another woman lustfully. They're talking about peanut butter, right? Skippy, smooth, Jif. But you'll see the woman looking at the other woman and get so close, you expect a kiss. Because the minute that the mind wraps itself around that concept, a seed gets planted.
Right.
That's good.
I hope you hear me.
Yeah.
Seed gets planted. There's not a movie that's worth watching anytime today for most people that don't have people having sex naked with no clothes on. And, you know, we never catch the fact that they'll have 12-year-old, 10-year-old kids naked in movies.
And movies and shows, television shows, they may portray a teenage child and they're having intimate scenes. That's inappropriate, and you're saying to a child, okay, it's okay for you to be promiscuous instead of waiting for your mate, for your husband, your wife, but it's okay for you to be intimate. And just to comment also, you were saying as far as like the candy cigarettes or whatever, they're enticing kids with, 'cause back in the day, you know, I'm a 70s baby. And so with edibles, you know, that's candy. That's, you know, that's enticing children. And you making those into out of illegal drugs, you know, that's not right. That's for, candy is not to be tampered with, that because that's enticing to a child. You know, that's, you shouldn't be doing that.
And the system that we're in, and this is why he talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, because there are people that are planning to do it. It would be different if this was accidental and incidental, but this is purposeful. It's intentional. There are people sitting in boardrooms saying, no, we don't want to sit it out there like that. Make it look like a gummy.
Right.
Because every child is going to want to taste it. And when they taste it and they get that little buzz from that edible, then we got them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we have to be intentional about casting out those imaginations. So how do you become intentional about raising children, especially in this day and age? We have to become communicators.
Yes.
That's right.
We have to sit down while the child is watching the movie and say, what are you getting out of this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What did you
help
just
them understand?
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
What are you taking
the
away
music
from
music too? Like the music and too. Holy Spirit had mm-hmm. revealed to me like far back. Like sometimes we be so holier than thou, and we be saying, "Oh, I don't listen to that music." No, you better start listening because that's where a lot of the spiritual warfare is. Because mm-hmm. before it comes into videos or start happening, these kids, they put it in the music. So the music really be their therapy and what they doing and what they thinking about doing.
Right.
And we be
right.
straying away from listening. And Holy Spirit revealed to me, no, we need to listen because that's where the deep spiritual warfare is, because they hear it in the songs and the music first. And
Hallelujah.
Then they start doing it. And then that's when they start putting it in the videos after they, you know, created the song and stuff first, right? First, and then another thing that came to mind was even we just gotta be we gotta be on point so much, because I even remember the songs when we was jumping Double Dutch back in the days, and why would they even create songs like that for little kids to jump ropes? Because jumping rope one for adults, yeah, you may jump as an adult, but you started as a little kid, and the songs was James Brown, "Glad to Meet You," "Drop Your Draws and Follow Me," "In the Bushes We May Go," "Lay Down on the Floor," and this is the songs that we jumping rope to. When you learn the songs, and you got to get grown to understand what you was even singing and jumping rope to, but
rope
it's been
to.
Already renouncing your spirit.
Yeah, and that might sound a little, go ahead, Kalan, because I want to share on top of that too, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting because not only the music, but the movies, you know, most times in the movie, what happens in the movie is coming. It's going to come. I remember watching Back to the Future. They had those virtual glasses back then. They had the FaceTime back then. They were showing what's to come. So it's coming. It's in the movie. It's interesting that you brought up Hollywood, you know, like L.A., Los Angeles. That's really the Los Angeles. They that's where they reside. They put out all their media. You know, they're the prince of the air. So they're in control of what's going through the media. But the Bible says that Christ is the only true medium. So we have to know these things are going on. That's how we are able to teach. But we don't know what we're falling for ourselves. You know, this law matrix like we talked about, just not even knowing though. Most people don't know. It's very few that I think that's intentionally being evil and wicked and thinking evil. They don't know that. They don't know, but we know. So we have to each one teach one, starting with our children, our family, our loved ones, and that's our that's part of the calling.
Can I piggyback off what T-Von says real quick? Can I add to that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I feel like we got to remember that Satan still loves music.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Say that again. I'm sorry. Say that again.
We still have to remember that Satan still loves music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because he was a musician, right?
He was the musician, right? The head of the worship. A lot of times we don't realize that we're worshiping. We singing them songs and dances. Well, who are we worshiping? You know, even in the church, we do these rehearsals and choir rehearsals, and our way of thinking is off. So we end up worshiping the worship. Are we worshiping God, or are we worshiping the worship? We're going to make them sing it. Audience, we're not singing to God. We're singing to the audience. We have to focus and be conscious. What's true worship?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to be the best singers.
It's your lifestyle. That's what true worship is, your lifestyle, how you live every day, not just on that Sunday singing and worshiping. Worship is a lifestyle.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. I want to add one thing into that. It's in 2 Corinthians. And it starts in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we're going to talk about that. How do you undo what Satan is doing?
because you have to undo it, right? It's like Sister Hawanda said, I don't run from the music. I don't say to cut that off because my kids are going to be exposed to cussing. They're going to be exposed to lasciviousness. Mm-hmm. But now that you are spiritual, you know you're not just looking at a movie. You're looking at some temptations.
That's right. There you go, Pastor.
In the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a temptation.
And they're eating them edibles like you're talking about. Because it's turned into candy. It's turned into cake. It's turned into sweets. It's turned into things that little people like.
Right. And remember what we said about the brain? It feeds off sugar.
There you go.
So the minute that you eat an edible, because of the sugar that's in it, it's going straight to the brain while the drug is going into the body, because your body is recording that information, and they continue to do it. These are some folks that are sitting in places making decisions, getting paid millions of dollars to know how to market that stuff in order to hook the generations to come, right?
There you go.
So watch what Paul says when he gets to 2 Corinthians. Right? He starts talking about this. Third chapter, 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, I'm sorry, third verse. And he gives us a clue on how to fight back. Praise the Lord. I really like Paul. Paul is an amazing man. I think Paul has gone through hell and high water. He's been everything that you can name. He even is transparent and will tell you in a minute those things that I wouldn't do, I find myself doing. He was transparent enough to say things to us like, you know, I tried to become all things to all people so that I could win some. And then he continues to grow and gets to a place where he says, oh, I'm no longer a people pleaser. Because he recognizes if God don't get the increase, ain't nothing I can do to help that person. Because I can drop seed all day long, but if God ain't going to increase that seed, I need to learn when to leave somebody alone. And some of us don't know when to leave folk alone. Some of us want to keep dropping seed when God is saying, no, listen, I got my own plan for their life. And at some point, if they don't catch what I'm getting ready to blow your mind, if I may, right? As believers, as the body of Christ, I want to blow your mind for a minute. If do you know how dangerous you are to people? Before we read this, you are a danger. Here's why you're a danger. Because your Bible says, touch not my anointed. And if you keep dropping seed in some folk and they keep overriding the seed, then vengeance's mind has to kick in. And there's a lot of people sick because of you. There's a lot of people broke because of you. There's a lot of people hurting in their soul because of you. Because you told them the truth. You hung on to them, and they kept misusing and abusing you. That's why it's a lot of times you got to forgive them and walk away so that they can exist long enough for God to change them.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you.
I don't worry about none of it anymore. I had a pastor say to me, man, you know, Pastor Monroe, he said, you poured out into people. You love people. He said, I've seen some people come into ministry. They turn around and run out and start their own ministry when they should have been sitting there and so forth and so on. And he said, it bothers me. And I said, it don't bother me.
I know that's
He said, but it bothers me because nobody, if I can sit up under you, I'm already a pastor. How come they don't do it? And I said, because they got a pathway to go through. And in all reality, my job is to turn them over to their own devices because I'm here to love them. And he says, well, then why is it that when you see them, you still hug them? I wouldn't do that. I said, that's why I'm not you. Because I've learned that as quickly as somebody hurts me, I forgive it. Because I'm not going to let them live inside of me, and I'm not giving nobody that kind of power over my heart. Because glory to God. The minute I get upset, I'm upset. The minute I start having hate, anxiety issues with you, you have possessed me through your power, and I get rid of the power of God.
Lord.
Because the power of God is greater than any man, so I don't have to be possessed by anything anybody does. You can sit up and yell, scream, do whatever you want to do, do dances, do tricks. You can steal my money if you want to. But in all reality, touch not my anointed.
That's right. Those levels that Brother Taban was talking about. It's levels. And when you get out of carnality and you get off the milk and you start eating meat, there's growth.
Come on, sister.
All right.
Grow past those things to everything. You ain't taking it personal no more. You know the things that would mm-hmm. affect somebody else.
Mm. So you're saying we need to not take it all so personal. Is that what you're saying?
It ain't about us. It's all about us, and it ain't about us. Yeah. Don't take
it
personal.
Amen. That's because we look at the physical world, and we don't.
Yeah, I'm about to say the same thing.
You know, the Bible talks about the weapons that we have to fight this war, but it's a spiritual war. So most
right.
of us have the belt of truth, or the breastplate of righteousness, or the spiritual armor that we need. We don't know the word of God, so we don't have the sword of the spirit. We don't know how to fight. But we know how to fight physically. We make sure that shows our capability. So when you're born again, you switch it. Now you think different. It's a whole different. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different. The concepts that we learn from the world are totally backwards. Because we're kingdom.
Now isn't that interesting that you said that, right? In 2 Corinthians, right, 10th chapter, listen to this, and you don't have to go to it unless you want to see it for yourself. Verse 3, though you walk in the flesh, you have to not war in the flesh. Right. Why? Because the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal like the world is.
Come on.
Your weapons are made
right.
mighty through God.
Hi,
so that
Lord.
You can pull down strongholds. You can cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God that lives in you. Mm-hmm. Watch what he says next. And bring into captivity every one of your thoughts to the obedience of God.
Ooh.
Now, when you say bring your thoughts, you know how many people walking around going, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus? When all he told you to do was to control yourself, take your own personal moral inventory.
All right.
You out. Whenever you point a finger at somebody, 3 points back at you, you can check you out. If you have the ability to abstain from getting involved, you just beat that demon down. Do you know, I say to people in the church, you know, hey, clap. And everybody claps, praise the Lord. And then I tell them again, okay, now raise your right hand, keep your left hand down, and clap again. And you can't do it because it takes two hands to clap. And so every time you approach a demon, a devil, a spirit, a negative person, anybody with low energy, bad energy, no energy, you need to not participate because every spirit, this goes back to what Latif was saying, every demon, I don't care if you got 2,000, 1,000, 50, 10, or just one spirit on you, everything has to be fed.
Amen.
If you don't feed it, it will either die or go. Because I'm not going to feed you with that mess. And
that
was the gift of Christ. He knew how not to feed demons. He was diplomatic as diplomatic could be. He was charismatic. He was intellectual. He was also humble. And with all those four gifts, charismatic, humility, intellect, right? Those gifts will allow you to overcome every demon on the planet. Because I don't have to engage it. Let it engage. You ever seen somebody argue with themselves?
Yeah.
I have. Right.
Yeah, they look a little crazy, though, don't they?
That's right.
Arguing with themselves. Talking crazy, and ain't nobody talking back to them. And you just kind of go, oh, my God, right? Now, here's the beauty of how to do it on a high level. Anybody ready to go to the next level?
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. So now I'm going to talk a little bit of biblical numerology, spiritual numerology, right? How many disciples did Jesus have?
13, I think.
That's how many. Yeah. That's how many apostles there became. He started with 12 disciples, right?
Yep.
How many tribes in Israel?
12.
Hallelujah. How many doors and gates in the kingdom when you get to heaven?
12.
And each gate in the kingdom is a gate that each nation has to walk through. So the number 12 is the composite number of all of humanity.
Mm. Oh.
How many signs in the zodiac?
12.
Jesus had one of each group.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yes.
One of each.
All right.
Why? Because he was teaching into those men something that they, one of them would be able to talk to anybody, no matter what level they were on. Now, why do I bring that up? Because when you even look at astronomy, like Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, they were brilliant astronomers. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. So brilliant that King Nebuchadnezzar, when he realized how much knowledge they had, that they could predict seasons, they could predict things that were coming, he said they killed everybody in Israel except for those three, four, because Daniel was one of them. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel. He wouldn't touch them. He said, no, you're gonna make, we're going to try to convert them and turn them into what we are, which they never did. And so he put them in a fiery furnace. But let me go back to the 12 for a minute. So 12, if you look at a piano typically has 88 keys on it. However, there's only 12 notes. If you master 12 notes, you can play the whole piano.
Okay.
Okay.
Five black keys, eight white keys. I'm sorry, five black keys and seven white keys, right? A through A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then A comes in again, and then all the rest of them are sharps and flats. Five and seven. So what am I trying to say? When you're dealing with people, every zodiac sign has similar characteristics. It is the reason that you walk and you see people, brand new people, you meet them and you go, well, he reminds me of so-and-so. Because the characteristic of the sign lives in them. Now, they can be different based on education, upbringing, community they were raised in. They may function a little different, but the characteristic is there. Give you an example. Aquarians are the water bearers, right? Ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. An Aquarian is a water bearer. The water signifies the water of life. So Aquarians are people that end up carrying other people's burdens all the time, which is why most of them, as they're kind people, they'll go beyond for you. But at the same time, they'll turn on you when you've hurt them too much. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have the ability to forgive that fast.
Okay.
They are as vindictive can be. You can hurt them, but they're going to get you back. Sagittarian, the archer, they are as intellectual can be. They typically are some people that can, if their hearts are not clean, they can manipulate everybody around them.
Mm-hmm.
Gemini, the two signs, they have two sides of their personalities. They're nice one day, and the next day you go and think you're going to see that same nice person and you can't figure out who the heck am I talking to. Jesus combined those people together and began to teach them to carry the gospel. So when he says, right, we just read the scripture, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you begin to study personalities, there's only 12 real personalities with a lot of different characteristics within the personality. You'll know when to walk away, you'll know how to walk away, and you'll know how to bring that spirit under subjectivity.
Jesus was dealing with those characteristics, 12, because he knew that that was the composite makeup of all of mankind. They were going to be duplications.
That's good. That's good.
I hope somebody gets this.
Yeah.
Going to be duplications.
I see what you did with that. Yes.
Yeah. So my wife is a Capricorn. She has certain characteristics of every Capricorn that I've ever met. She's articulate. She's a dot the I cross the T person. You don't just run anything by her. You just you have to explain it in extreme detail. Now, what if I didn't know that? If I didn't know that, I would get in a lot of trouble because I'm an Aquarian and I'm a move it fast kind of person, and I'm going to get the thing done because I can see the vision real clear. So I'm going to go to the vision, and I might leave a whole lot of junk in the wake.
Okay.
My wife won't accept the junk in the wake, so I have to know how to work with her and communicate with her because her gifting complements my gifting. Anyway, let me try to get it a different way. If you pay attention to personalities, you'll recognize that all the people around you were people that God put around you for mastery's sake, so you would learn how to complement their gifting and they complement yours, so he can use you to grow something and he can use you to change something. That's the reason you were called into the kingdom. You're called into the kingdom to change what's in the earth. And the only way I can change it is to learn how to interact even with people I don't like.
I see what you're saying. That's right.
Amen.
I have to learn how to navigate people I don't like. So Jesus gave us 12 personalities. Peter was a mess. Peter was that guy with the big mouth. Oh, you know what? If they come touch you, I'll kill them all. Same man, when they came and got him, said, I don't even know that dude.
Yeah.
But if you're one of them Christians, weren't you hanging out with Christ? No, not me. Because on the front end, he had this spirit that said, I'm so brave and tough. But when the trouble came,
all right.
Anybody listening? Are you listening to
me?
Because you got people like that around you, and you'll call them two-faced it, but they ain't two-faced it. They're Gemini. They're
that's
one person
happened.
One day, and they're somebody else the next.
Look, my grandson born on the 4th now.
I was just going to say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I just had a birthday Saturday now.
Oh, wait a minute. I ain't talking about nobody, Cassandra. I'm just saying, because here's what Christ does. When Christ comes in, my Aquarian personality became balanced.
I understand. Yes.
Without Christ in it, then that part of me that's always doing for people was getting hurt too much.
Yes.
And then I would withdraw. Then I would isolate. And then you had me under your control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was angry. Then I was ready to fight. Mm-hmm. Then if I saw you again, you better take flight. Then I was this. But when Christ came in, it balances that, because I began to realize everybody's sick like this. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now I can balance. Now I can recognize everybody has issues. It's okay for them to have the issue. It's not okay for me to have the issue.
All right. Amen.
Because I got Jesus. Praise the Lord. Does that make any sense? So how do you use that to work and try to turn circumstances around? Watch what the rest of what this says. Please let me read it. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't have to war after it anymore. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to react out of my emotions. But they're made mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me get that mess off me. Cast down those imaginations. Let me control my mind, my Gilgal, my Calvary. And anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of who I am in God, I'm born again. I ain't that old person. I don't have to act like that old person. He's going to talk to me, though.
Yes.
That old person's going to tell me, don't you feel that cussing spirit coming over you? That old person is going to talk to me, right? And then he goes on to say, right, the knowledge of God, then he says, but you have to bring every thought back into captivity to stay obedient to Christ. And then watch what he says next.
That's a big challenge.
He says, and God having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience once our obedience is fulfilled. I'm saying it's some people that's messed up because of you. There's some people you trying to win, and it may not be no win for them because of you. There's some people you trying to fix, and there is no fix for them but God because of you.
Come on.
Because they misused the. Oh, God, I hope you get it.
Oh, I see what you did there.
If you receive this, you won't have another fight in your life. In fact, you'll be praying for the people. This is why Jesus said what he said. Pray for them who despitefully use you because of this is what Paul is telling us now. Because every time they misuse you, God is trying to figure out first how to straighten them out because God is about salvation. But if he can't straighten them out, he's going to pull grace away from them and let Satan blow them out.
Whoops.
Oh. Amen. Amen.
Or burn them out.
Yes.
Anybody get that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's go back. All right, now let's go back to. Any thoughts on that? Anybody want to share on that? Because I'm this is real.
Yes,
you may not think it's real, but folks hurt you. God is not happy about it, and you don't have to take any actions other than prayer and keeping your mind straight, and you'll see what God does if you pay attention.
Amen.
Yeah, because the word gives us example. You say, vengeance is mine, he'll repay, you know, and then he'll tell us, hold our peace, he'll fight our battles. So he got the instructions in there. And if we apply them, his word can't lie. I'm telling you.
And that's why Brother Tobias said, let's take it seriously. Because this word works.
If you work.
This is how you really begin to know God is real, because you begin to see the promises that he made to you taking place, even on people around you. You think you're stressing out. You need to stop stressing.
Nope. Bye, man.
You need to stop stressing and start seeing that God has a plan that he's enacting because of the stress they put on me. I'm getting out of that now. Because if I stay in that stressful place, it could cost that other person their life.
Come on, because it's working for our good. That right reminds me of Romans 8:28.
Hallelujah. All right, let's keep reading. Unless anybody has something they want to contribute, we'll keep reading. Nope, let's keep going then. Brother Javon?
Yeah, okay, we were.
Corinthians
7.
Okay. 3 and 7, correct.
3 and 7.
Okay.
So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry.
What does husbandry mean?
Oh, good question.
Anybody want to answer that? What is husbandry?
Husbandry.
Husbandry.
I can read what the definition says. The care, cultivation, and breeding of crops and animals. Management and conservation of resources.
Say it again now, one at a time. Listen to what the Bible says, everybody. Well, we are laborers together with God because you are his husbandry. You are God's building living in you. And what does it mean to be the husbandry? What do we do?
Build.
The care, cultivation, and breeding of crops and animals. Management and conservation of resources.
Is anybody getting that?
Well, what?
So Jesus made this statement, right? The harvest is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying you're the harvester. Mm-hmm. He's using you to cultivate. He's using you to bring in the crops. He's using you to plant the seed. He's using you. This is Paul. This is another way of Paul saying one plants another water. He's saying you're those people. That is the reason why a lot of folk end up in trouble around you. And as you plant, you have to know to plant and go and let God do the work. Because if you keep planting and they keep supplanting, supplanting means going against you, going against the very words that you gave them.
Amen.
Anybody get it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And then he had just read, like, the planter and the water are one and the same. So it's almost like, well, the scripture that came to me with mine to reference that is faith without works is dead. Like, sometimes we be waiting for something to fall out the sky. We are prayed like, no, you got to find yourself busy actually working towards that thing for it to come to pass, because what we feed flourish no matter what it is, and it that can be in the positive and the negative.
Can
I piggyback off that too? Well, just like, you know, in the Bible says that God, you know, takes care of all the animals and stuff. Well, the birds just don't sit in a tree and wait for food to be there. God provides it. They still have to get up and go get it.
Exactly.
Okay. Go ahead, Tomas.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Oh, God, what does that mean? Any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Mm-hmm. So it was by fire. Anybody want to chime in?
What was standing out to me was something that he read a little bit before, and it was talking about the foundation, and I feel like that should be really added into the verses when we talk about marriage and the foundations for marriage, because that was literally the formula right there. Like,
right.
Speaking on the foundation, yeah, I feel like that should be emphasized in marriage. When we get getting into these relationships and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Hawanda.
If any man shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Is that talking about like burning out the imperfections in us? Yeah,
no, ma'am.
It's sort of,
I shouldn't say it that way. It's sort of kind of, but it's really connected to verse 13 or 12 and 13. Okay. Let me read it right through for you, and then I want you to just rise to the spirit of Christ in you. Hear it in the spirit. Watch what he says. Now, if any man builds upon any other foundation, if he builds it, if he builds what he's supposed to build that God has given him, because you're a master builder, you're a wise builder. If you build on any other foundation, whether it's building it for gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or even the worst, stubble, every man's work shall be made clear, manifest. It's going to become evident.
Okay.
The tree is known by the fruit that it bears. It becomes manifested. For the day shall declare it. At some point, people are going to know it, because it shall be revealed through your trials. Fire. It shall be revealed by the trials of fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work remains, which he's built thereon, he'll receive a reward for it. And if any man's work shall be burned, he'll just suffer that loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as though it was by the fire.
Okay.
What do you hear?
Okay. Yes, I believe so. If I could get another try at that, okay. It's
yes,
basically
ma'am.
Saying that you may not have got the instructions right the first time, but you get another chance. Like for the ones that built their foundation on the rock, you know, theirs is they gonna receive a reward because they ain't gotta do it again. But for the ones that didn't get the instructions or follow them to the T, because 1 ounce of doing anything in ourselves is considered disobedience or off the task, and we have repercussions for that. You're going to get another chance, but there's some work that, you know, you got to do it all over again. You'll be back at square one.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody agree with that? Everybody hear that? You agree with it?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone
has.
I'm sorry, Tamar, go ahead.
Yeah, everyone has a certain work, whether it be gold, silver, precious stones, or whatever it is that the work that you have to do. I think that's the analogy is put in, or the metaphor is put in. But every man's work shall come to visions. People will see. People will see whatever it is that you're doing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For it, the Bible says that they shall declare it. So it's going to come. But it will be tested by fire.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the how could I say this? The If the work is burned up by the test, he shall suffer what? The loss of his reward. Yet he himself will be saved. I want to say because another version says, the Amplified version says, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who barely escaped through the fire.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a shot? Sister Cassandra?
I'm fine. I'm just listening. I'm observing.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, we don't want to. I'm sorry. I don't want to put you on the spot. Sister Tina? There's no wrong answer. I just want to hear how you hear it.
I think the next verses, well, for me, it kind of cleared it up, you know, the next
Does
few
it?
Verses.
Okay.
Yeah, for me to see it. Let me just read a couple of verses. Now, know you not, or do you not know, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So if you know that we are the temple of God, God wants to dwell in us so he can do his work through us. But don't be demanded if Christ went through doing his work. For me to look at what he endured, wow. I mean, he endured so much that I don't know if I could be able to. Would I be strong enough to do what Christ did? So that strengthens me to look at the life of Christ, reading it, and fire that he had to go through in order to prove himself pure. That's the way I look at it. So the fire is an opportunity for promotion. It's going to be fire. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So
I want to give you a couple
of the temptation, not so saying that the fire is like the temptation, but if we don't heed to the temptation. So it's basically talking about our temples. It's not talking about an earthly building. It's talking about the one that's not made by. It's talking about the body. And what we put in our bodies and stuff like that, what we feed in ourselves and how we live in versus that's what I picked up, gleaned off of what you were saying and then reading the other verses, but that is about our body and temple and how we take care of ourselves, like what we eat, how we live, and that and feeding ourselves with the word versus the one that may crumble. You know, somebody still may be doing their best, but they didn't meet the mark, you know. So they'll get that opportunity, you know, again. Like, your foundation might burn, but you're going to have to start over, you know, from scratch.
Okay, well, I do want to say something, because what I am kind of getting from it, and like you said, there's not a right or wrong answer. But fire does burn away the impurities of the flesh, and so I don't know. I kept getting the visualization of like a pig being roasted on a fire, and the more that it's being turned, it, it's being cooked, and it's like, but it kills all of the bacteria. So it's like, am I saying that the right way? Are y'all getting kind of following what I'm saying? So it's killing and removing all of that, you know, from
impurity.
Impurity.
The bacteria.
Yes.
And so if I can combine, if you compartmentalize 17 and 18 from 12 through 15, you'll get two good messages out of it. And everybody's, that everything you shared is correct. I believe it's correct, right? I'm not the expert on God. I am a man just like everybody else, learning as I go about God. I'm just like Paul. I'm going from level to level, fighting devil after devil. At every level you go through, you kind of look back over your life and go, ooh, I get it now. Right? So I'm going to give you a couple of names. I'm going to do 12 through 15 again. Listen to it good. 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which was already laid, which is Jesus. Right? Christ. Well, but if any man builds a foundation based on gold, silver, precious stone, you know, they didn't have dollars back then. If they build that church based on money, like what he says, if they build it based on money, a little money, that's double. A little more money, that's hay. Make a little bit more money, that's wood.
Okay.
I got to make a little bit more stones. Well, I'm making a lot of money, silver. Well, I'm getting rich from ministry, gold.
That's good.
I'm going to give you some names. Joel Osteen. Eddie Long.
$1,000.
Anybody listening?
Yes,
I'm with you.
He says, every one of them, that work will become obvious over time. That's what manifest means. Because the day is going, at some point, it's all going to show up. The day shall declare it. Because it's going to be revealed through the trials they go through.
That's right.
And the trials shall try the man's work and show you what it was made of.
That's right.
And if any man's work remains because of the way he built upon it, then he'll continue to have the reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, all the rewards are gone, but he himself shall still be saved.
Guess what just came
New
to
Christ.
Me? When you... Sorry, go ahead.
No, ma'am, go ahead.
I was going to say what came to me when you was reading it is if we think about when the pandemic first started, if that could be an example where it can be broke down. A lot of people, faith was wavered, you know, they was afraid, you know, when the pandemic first started and with Corona. So that's what came to me when you was just described, once you just read it again, like it's really based on our level of faith and believing and following his statutes and his word, and that's according to how strong your foundation is, you know. And then he sent those trials to test our foundation. If you practicing what you preach, and if you just, you know, talking about it, or are you really being about it? So I feel like that's why the pandemic.
Amen.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sister Wanda, because it's important, because each one of you, the word minister, according to Jesus Christ, when he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, I came to minister. He was saying, I'm a servant.
Yes.
I'm the servant. Each of us are servants. He's saying, you dare not serve, you're saved, but in your servanthood, you dare not do it for money. unless I gave you the money. Let me give you the example of it. Abraham, when Abraham went out to rescue Lot from the four kings in the book of Kings, the first, second, fourth chapter, I think it's no 19th chapter, book of First Kings. When Abraham goes out, no, actually Genesis, when Abraham goes out and he goes to rescue his brother Lot, and he goes up against five kings because the four kings had been conquered and they took all the people, took all of their money, took all of their stuff, took all of their crops, took all of their stock, livestock, and Abraham, and they had thousands of men, but God blessed Abraham in such a way, Abraham went with a couple of hundred men and overcame all of those kings' men. And then he took everything back, including bringing Lot back. And once he gets back, those other four kings realize, okay, you brought all of our stuff back. And they said this to him. They said, Abraham, let us bless you. You take half of the money. You take this part of the stock. And you take this, and God dropped a word into Abraham and said, and if you do, they'll be saying they're the ones that made you rich.
And
so you have to trust me for everything that I'm going to give you. So what am I saying? I'm saying even in your walk right now, you have to trust God that everybody you're touching is part of a divine appointment that God is going to use one day for them to come back and bless you with something that is going to increase your life. Let me try it again. You have to trust God that everybody that you're touching is somebody that God is going to touch to come back and bless you in your lifetime. However, you can't go there for the blessing. You have to go there to be the blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
When you build in ministry and you're building up people's lives, he's saying, don't build it on anything other than the foundation that was laid for you. The same Jesus Christ that you have, you must give to them. You have to give it to them that way so that you build on a strong foundation. Then he compartmentalizes it so we understand how temptation can treat us. Watch this. He says, and know ye not that you are the temple of God? Remember, he said, I live in you. You're the husbandry. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Somebody brought up food. Somebody brought up some other things and so forth and so on. But now let me take you to what he's really speaking to. And I'll give it to you one second.
We still in this
building
going round and round
because you don't trust me. Hello? Oh. Yeah. Yep. Okay, is everything all right? Now go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, please.
Okay.
Sorry, Pastor. I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Matthew 15.
Can you view for a second, please?
Well, not to show it strong again and again and Matthew again 15, and again. 11.
Matthew 15 and 11?
Yes, ma'am.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 11? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Watch what he's talking about. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir. No, sir.
We need
amen.
We need
here
to
we
mute.
Go.
Let's mute our phone.
Yeah, please mute. Somebody got background noise, television, radio.
I'm ready now.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Jesus says this. He says, and he, let's read 10 too. He said, and he called the multitude, everybody over to him and said unto them these words, hear and understand this, is not that which goes into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defiles a man. And he's talking about what's in my heart. So no matter what you build ministry on, this is the reason that he asks us to learn to forgive so quickly. I don't care who makes whatever infraction against you, you need to forgive it and move on. Because it's there to dirty your heart. It's not there to cause you problems, headaches, and struggle. It is there to dirty your heart. Why? Because you are the husbandry. You're the one he needs to use to plant. You're the one he needs to water through. You're the one that needs to plow the field for him. And if your heart is dirty, you'll be retractive. You don't want to touch nobody. You ain't going to be friendly to nobody because you're so scared somebody's going to hurt you. You're so scared somebody's going to misuse you. You get scared that somebody's going to say some things that you don't want to hear or make it negative for you. And he's saying you must keep your – the only thing that defiles a man, and the reason that Jesus said this was because the scribes and the Pharisees, they came to him and they said, hey, brother, hey, man, why is it that your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? How do they do that? Because, you know, our laws say you have to wash in order to eat food. What's going into them, that's unclean. And Jesus said, hold on for a minute. Not one thing that you put in your body is unclean. It's the stuff that's coming out of your heart and falling out your mouth that becomes unclean. And so, hallelujah, somebody, please, I hope and pray that I'm saying
hallelujah.
My heart stays clean. I don't care what you do. You can't make me cuss you out. If my heart stays clean, I can be angry but have a decent conversation. If my heart is clean. If my heart stays clean, I can stay clean. And I can still, even in correcting people, draw them closer to God. So now I'm building on a solid foundation. Why? Because people begin to realize, over time, you took all that mess off me. And you never got dirty with me. I wallowed in the mud. I threw mud on you and at you, and you never got dirty with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he's saying, know ye not that you are the temple. I can dwell in you as long as the heart is clean. I can move through you. I can give you vision. I can give you plans for the future. I can grow your business when your heart is clean. I can fix your family if you keep your heart clean. I can change your coworkers. If your heart stays clean, you'll not only get the master's degree, they'll give you a PhD instead of the master's degree because your heart was clean. Because they go test you and they go try you, they go try to burn you up. But as long as you stay clean, and our hearts have to stay clean, because everything I believe that Satan tries to do to us is to create that hardness all over again. That hardness that we ran from when we came to the Lord, and we ran from that mess. We were sick of the world. I'm tired of this mess. I'm so sick of it. I need something different. And then going back to what Brother Tavon said, and so I accepted the Lord. I confessed out of my mouth, he is my Lord. I began to have slow changes. The increase began to take place. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Something's increasing in me. However, as I increase, Satan wants to decrease me. So he starts sending infractions. Now it's the it used to be the people I knew in the streets. Now it's the people I know in my house. Oh, glory to God. But it used to be the people that I ran with. Now it's the people that I live with. Now it's the job I go to. Now it's my efforts to better my circumstances. Now it's me loving people, and those people are turning back at me. And he's saying, keep your heart clean, because you're building something, and I'm building something through you. And you're building it on the right foundation. You're loving people not because of who they are, but in spite of who they are. That's a foundation. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Because we want everybody to be just right for us.
That's good.
I probably shouldn't have said that one, boy. We get in trouble, I think. We do. We want everybody to be just right for us. We want them to know how to lean when we bend. We want them to know how to smile when we look. We want them to know how to roast or toast when we roast. And give us some applause and some accolades. And I'm trying to tell you, say, because that's how you get your heart dirty. Anytime you're waiting for someone to validate you other than your Lord, Master, and Savior, you're in trouble of having a dirty heart. You're in a place that something else has control over you. And if you're not careful, that control will show up. And that's when we find ourselves depressed. I hope I can talk to this for a minute. That's when we find ourselves stressed. That's when we find ourselves in duress, and we're sitting back struggling and fighting through life, and get up in the morning and don't want to go out in a day because we don't even want to feel the sunshine. Or I come home and I sit in the car because I don't even want to go in the house because I don't want to see the person I live with. You're in duress. You're in stress. You're almost depressed. But I serve a God that's saying to us that if you keep your heart clean, you can love people in spite of where they are.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You
can love them in spite of who they are. Because ain't nobody will ever be perfect for you.
Amen.
That whole soulmate thing, this is for married folks and couples. I'm looking for my soulmate. Well, okay. But I can tell you. He might be in China. You don't even have a plane ticket. And so you may never find her. So it becomes important for me to understand, because when your heart is clean, you start looking at life from a different perspective. The new mind kicks in and you realize, I know how to love, and it's more important than being in love.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
I know now how to love. Because I understand God, because I now know he first loved me, and I start getting that because he's grown me. And when I go back and look back over my life, then I realize what he grew and what I was before he grew me.
That's
I can look around me and be okay all the time because I start realizing that was me. But for the grace of God. Oh, glory. praise the Lord, somebody. Go ahead. Was that you, Lucky?
Yeah, it's me.
Go ahead.
And it's like one of the big things I learned, you know, throughout my life and everything, I'm like what exactly love is. And you know, the way humans got love is completely wrong. And because the reason why I say that is because throughout my life I had an individual in my life that I, you know, had would always tell me verbally that they love me, but I never felt it. And so I had to like really put it together throughout my life. I'm like, all right, so somebody can just go. Jesus wasn't just going around telling people he loved them and just walked away. He was showing them, because like you said, he was serving them. He died on the cross for us. It's an action. Love is what you do for people. It's not just telling somebody that you love them.
That's right.
Yeah,
that was powerful.
Can I piggyback on that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Not only that. Well, can I read like two more verses? Then I'll
please
see what I want. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. That he may be wise. I'm going to read that again. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And
yes,
again,
sir.
The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, to piggyback on what Lati was saying,
the showing of the love. And a lot of times, well, in my life, it's a lot of my peers, I would say family members more so, with their hands out. They want something materialistic, money. They want something, especially if they know I have something. And that's how they receive love. That is love. Give me, give me, give me. And I give them some monetary things. It's love. But I want to read something real quick, just really quick, out of the book of Acts. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down in every day all at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms or money from those entering the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. But Peter, along with John, stared at him. They stared at him intently and said, "Look at us." Now he's begging for money, and they stared at him as he's begging with intentions. So they had intentions behind what they were about to do. So they said to him, "Look at us." And the man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have.
Come on.
But what I do have, I give to you.
Great.
In the name and the authority and power of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking." So with me, what I get, my understanding, what the Spirit is telling me, is that it's something so much greater than money.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to give what I put in you, he that is in you is greater than him that is in the world. Mm-hmm. So what do I have to give? That's how I'm looking at it, right? Not just handing out money, because that the money doesn't change anything if the thinking doesn't change. They'll still become better.
Right.
So Peter said, "Money I don't have for you. I have something greater. And whatever is, it changes. Period. Point blank. By the Spirit of God, we the temple, our body is the temple that God, the Spirit of God, wants to dwell in to do these things, not to hand out money. It's okay to hand out money. That's good when needed. But that's not the principal thing. So this is what I'm gathering. Lati made a good point, because I'm going through it right now with my kid's mother, and she just wants me to hand out money. And it's not that I don't want to give money when I got it and I feel it's needed, but I'm to the point now where I don't want to give anything, because you're not listening to me when I know I have something that will help you. What I tell you is only right. It doesn't always come off like the right way because of who I used to be, but she doesn't know who I am now, so I'm not worthy of being hurt. But to her, I'm worthy of handing out money. She doesn't know who is in me, who lives in me, because she thinks I'm the old creature. So she can't even receive what I'm trying to give her because of who she thinks I am and not who I truly am. Now, so it could be frustrating, but I feel that's a part of the fire that I'm going to purify, because I'm a new creature. I still have some of that fat that's burning off, as my sister put in her analogy. I'm going to purify. A lot of that stuff is burning off of me. because I'm learning, I'm conscious of it. I used to get angry because I didn't see what was really going on. I didn't understand.
Okay.
So, really good, really good. Thanks for letting me share that.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Let me give God a hand clap. We're going to get to 7:19 on our time, but I want to give everybody some words to look up, please.
Hold on one second.
Do you have a pencil?
I got to make sure I grab my pen.
And I'm giving you these words because when you went back to Acts 3, Brother Tavon, the man that was sitting in front of the temple, you find it interesting that he was one in front of a temple, which means people were on their way to church, which is where Peter and John were on their way to church, to the temple. They were going there to teach or to be taught something. And all the other people, you know, because church, people go to church, especially back then because there was Sabbath day, right? Sabbath.
Yeah.
Means everybody had to show up to church. Think of how many people walked past that man and never saw his knee.
Exactly. Exactly.
But claimed that they knew God.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, so love and proper love, that's why I said it's not the emotion of love. It is the knowing how to love and what kind of love am I supposed to give to a person. So I'm going to give you some words based on that. Ready? Everybody ready?
Yeah. Yes,
first word I want you to look up is the word eros, E-R-O-S.
Eros.
Because many people are confusing that for actual love. But love is compartmentalized in the Bible. It's seven types of love in the Bible. Eros is one of them. Eros is the love that Jacob had when he ran into Rachel.
Yeah, amen.
He was like, she's so fine. I'll work for 7 years and do anything you want. He told Laban, look, what do I have to do to have her? Laban said, give me 7 years of your time and you can marry her. And then he tricked him and had him marry her sister. Got him drunk, put him in the dark, had him marry the sister.
Oh,
but he had such erotica, eros, he had such a strong attraction to her. That he said, I'll do seven more then. Right? So eros, right, which is a sexual or passionate love, most akin to the modern construct of romantic love, right? And a lot of people start off in eros, and then when it wears off, they have errors.
I see what you did there. I like what you did there.
Praise the Lord. Next one is philia. Look that one up. P-H-I-L-I-A. It's going to make you so aware. Praise the Lord. It'll open up your spirit of discernment. Philia. That is the friendship love. Shared goodwill. Got it? Philia. P-H-I-L-I-A. Next one is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. That is a family love.
The
love between parents and children. Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge, like stork? Where it comes from. Stork about the baby. Remember all those old fables and fairy tales?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the foundation of the stork came from the word storge, the Hebrew and the Greek. Storge meaning family love. It's an amazing thing when a woman has a child and she could be suffering through pain that is just, no man will ever get it, right? She's pushing out a child. Her body's expanded, her hips have expanded, the uterus has had to expand. And she's dilated and she's pushing out 6 pounds of something from inside of her body and during the time she's
doing it. She is travailing. The Bible calls it. She's angry. She's mad, ready to slap the doctor, the husband, and everybody around her. And the baby comes out and she sees his face. And a connection of storge takes place like nothing you ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll become so connected to the baby that ain't no man go ever matter to her again. He can be in her life, but he ain't gonna have what he thought he had. Sort of game.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I have some women in here that'll testify to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And you have to know that because there are different types of love that we're sharing with people, but we've grouped it up as one love, and we get in a lot of trouble because we can't compartmentalize it. Well, what the love that I have for my child is different than the love that I have for my husband. I have to know how to compartmentalize them, or else they will crash, and they will get in trouble with each other. Because sometimes I'm trying to put the kid before the husband and the husband before the kid, and I don't know how to compartmentalize them. I don't know where that man belongs, and I don't know where that child belongs right now, because they're both in front of me asking for something, and I need to know which one to take care of.
Storge.
Next, love, agape.
Hey, Pastor, it's Lati. My phone died. I'm calling on my wife's phone, just letting you know I'm here still.
Okay. Yep, thank you. Number four, agape, A-G-A-P-E. And we all know what that is. That's godly love, which is expressed in John, the third chapter, when he says God is love, that if we have not yet quite learned the concept of this love, we haven't quite gotten the right relationship in God. The next one is called ludus, L-U-D-U-S, ludus. Ludus, playful or uncommitted love. Right? The kind of teasing love, flirty, right? Flirting with folks, but I don't really want nothing to do with you, but I'll flirt with you. Right? But that creates a problem if you don't understand what it is, because it becomes seductive. It's conjugating. You'll get it when you start reading up on them. Next one is called pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A.
Oh, hold on. Say that again. I'm sorry.
P-R-A-G-M-A. Pragma. Like pragmatic, from the root word pragmatic love. So that's where you have balanced love to the point that you know how to operate in all different arenas. Now, pragmatic is not overly emotional, not underly emotional. You know when to laugh, you know when not to laugh. You know, it becomes pragmatic based on being dutiful and responsible and knowing that I'm supposed to do some things. I have a long-term investment in this person. I know when I can't feel the feeling of love for them, I need to move into the pragmatic feeling, so that I know that the responsibility remains, even though I ain't so erotic anymore. I can't wait to get home to her anymore. But I've got pragma, and I know I'm going home to her. Amen.
Amen.
Right? Next one is philautia. P-H-I-L-A-U-T-I-A. Philautia. That's what Jesus talks about when he says it's called self-love. That's what Jesus was speaking of when he said, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. He was talking about philautia. It's not narcissistic love. It is, I need to treat me well. There's some times I need to go, I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I need to go out and just go buy myself a hat. I'm going to go out and golf. I'm going to go fishing. That's philautia. I'm going to go over mom's house right now because that I get this connection and this charge when I go visit mom. I need to go and spend time with this person. I need to go be with the girls right now. I don't leave the kids at home, leave the hubby at home. I'm going to hang out with my girlfriends because I got to have some self-love, and I get it in that environment, right? And so when you compartmentalize and when you look these things up, if you would please, and you kind of research and study them, it'll help you to compartmentalize what sometimes our emotions are saying, and we can't discern, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Because I feel this man left me. Gosh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You're supposed to go and live because you don't own the man. So I move out of being in erotica, and I have to move my mind into self-love. Okay, he left me. So that means I need to love myself. I can't, you know, God has sent me a right man. Because if I'm a right woman and he left me, God wanted him gone.
Yeah.
God wanted her out.
Amen.
Because she was interrupting the plan. Because people can do that. Because when we get into it, I'm almost done, it's getting late. When we get into that first part of attractive love, we typically don't check anybody's resume. You don't go, okay, what you been doing? Right? You learn that over time sometimes, but you don't check the resume. And then when you find out, after being in the relationship for a while, and the resume starts showing up, even though you didn't ask for it, because now you got who's that constantly texting you? That's the resume showing up. That's the other woman. The resume starts showing up, and now I'm all messed up because I never segmented and compartmentalized love enough to know, while I'm in this particular stage of love, I need to be cautious. When I move into this stage of love, I need to be a little bit more pragmatic. Right? And so there's all kinds of love, is what I'm saying. And what Peter and John showed them in Acts, the third chapter, was a different kind of love. They looked into the man, and they realized money ain't this man's problem. He needs to be healed. And a lot of times we have people around us, they need a lot. They need something different than what we're giving them. God help me.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep giving them what we think they need.
That reminds
me. Bring her some flowers.
The five love. I said that reminds me of the five love languages, because I've read that book and then got another edition, and where it talks about the love, you know, the five love languages. You know, you can be, like you said, giving them what you think they like, but their love language can be affirmation or physical touch, you know, and you will feel like they being ungrateful if you continue to buy them flowers, but they really don't, you know, like flowers, or that's not their love language. And for whatever, which, you know, the most, and it's not just for relationships, it's for relationships with our children, relationships with friends, thing else, like that book.
Yes, ma'am.
Five love
languages. And even relationships on the job.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to the job thinking I'm working my butt off and then get fired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, wait a minute, I was working so hard, why did you fire me?
Right.
You didn't give me what I asked you for.
Exactly.
You gave me what you wanted to give me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Everybody got it?
Amen. Yes.
So please study those. It's enlightening. When I first read it and found out about it, I was like, oh my God. I'd never really thought about it like this, but it's certainly changed even how I approach certain things and even how I approach strangers. I now have the proper amount of intelligence for it, not caution, but intelligence for it. I can now meet people and start off with 100% trust and let them unearn it.
Okay.
Whereas before, they had to earn some trust. And I think Jesus was
exactly
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Give it to them and then let them distinguish.
And let them blow it. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so it's past 7:30. Sorry to keep everybody so long, but I think we had, I hope and pray you got something out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Sandra, I hope and pray that you get blessed. Praise the Lord. If you come and join us again next week. I'm going to have Sister Holanda to close us out in prayer, please.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Abba, Father, yeah, we just come to say thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you for all the lessons learned. We thank you for your word, most of all, knowing that it's a solid foundation that we can lean and depend on, one that will never crumble or fold on us. Hallelujah. So I thank you for reminding us in this Bible study that it's not about us and that it's all about you, that you remind us in your word that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, so that we won't focus on the person and think that nobody is doing anything to us, even when it comes as close to home, that we will know and walk in the spirit, that we can see that it is spirits that wish to use anybody, that will use anybody to throw us off course. So we just thank you for your word on today. We thank you for how you have rightly divided. I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for everything that was shared. And I thank you that a seed was planted that we can begin to grow and grow and grow. And I thank you for every question that was asked, knowing that love without actions is manipulation, and that you are training us and that you are teaching us step by step on how to be more like you. So we deny our flesh right now, and we just take up our cross and follow you. We desire to be holy and more righteous and be as you called us to be. Hallelujah. So even the things that we know don't know how to do, we ask that you continue to teach us, that we just continue to be sensitive to your spirit, hallelujah, that we not be not conformed to this world, like we said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, because if we stay focused on your word, we would know that victory is already ours, hallelujah, and that it's a fixed fight, and that we have already won, that the enemy is already defeated. So I pray that you line us up with your word, hallelujah, 100%, that we submit our whole will to you, not just half or a piece of it, hallelujah, because there's benefits in being in you, hallelujah, and not that we just focus on the benefits, but you already told us that there's an abundance of life and joy and peace in you, hallelujah, so everything we need, we can find it in you, hallelujah, which is our solid foundation, and we just ask, forgive us, I just said, some of us need to repent and ask for forgiveness for the things that we have placed upon ourselves, because you said you won't put more on us than we can bear. However, we have played Yah in other people's lives and even in some situations in our own, to where you were trying to teach us and show us how to grow in these situations.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
We were the ones to be the cop out. We were the ones to be the answer. Hallelujah. So no longer will we hand out money when we should give a word of encouragement. No longer, hallelujah, will we walk past a person that needs the money and walk in our flesh and not to be sensitive to the spirit, because you called us to be the difference on today. There's nothing falling out of the sky. So I pray right now that you help us, and we just ask for your help over and over again, because we can't do nothing without you. We need you in every area of our life, because you said even the truly elect will be deceived, and we don't want to be in that number. So I thank you for making us and molding us in your likeness and your image, and thank you for not taking us off the potter's wheel. Thank you that we confess, hallelujah, that we are nothing without you, and we are everything within you, everything within you, as long as we keep you first. Hallelujah. So continue to lead us and guide us and direct us in the path of righteousness and holiness, because you said without holiness, no man can see Yah. You said no man can see Yah, and we just want to see you. We want our name to be written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So wash us and cleanse us and purge us. Hallelujah. Bring up everything in us that's not like you, and we know that you do it by fire, so burn off every impurity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we will know that it hurts so good. Sometimes it's like us going to the gym, and when we start working out, we have to feel the pain before the pleasure takes place, or before the evidence takes place, so we know that healing is essential in this season. Hallelujah. That we may have to do some hard things and get uncomfortable in this season. So help us to be okay with being uncomfortable, that you can wash and wring out those things in us that does not line up with your will. And we thank you for
thank you, Lord.
We thank you for direction. We thank you for not leaving us in our mess. Hallelujah. And I pray right now that we not be like that dog returning to his vomit and eating it up. Hallelujah. That no matter what, that even that slow progress can be better than no progress. That we just continue to move forward. That you keep, that we keep our eyes on the prize. That we keep our eyes on being the difference. Hallelujah. And bringing salvation to somebody by our life. Because true worship is our lifestyle. Not how we show up in church on Sunday, but how we live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday.
Yes, Lord.
So help us, help us, help us. We just ask for your help. We just ask for your help, Holy Spirit. We ask for your help, hallelujah, that you continue to show up in our life like never before. And I just say a special prayer for the first family, that you continue to do the work on the inside of them, hallelujah, that what you give them, hallelujah, can be purified, hallelujah, that the word that they give will be a seed, that it will wash us, hallelujah, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, that it will cleanse us, hallelujah, that it will bring correction and direction for your glory, that we may be equipped to go out and make disciples of many, because you didn't call us to be disciples, and those to make disciples out of, and that we make other disciples by our lifestyle. So we just want to line up with your word and what it says. So we just say thank you. We love you, and we bless your name. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, because it all belongs to you. And as we leave this place but not your presence, I pray that your Holy Spirit continues to reign on us, that it continues to correct us and lead us, and that it give us good sleep and rest. And we pray for everybody that didn't make it on the line today. I pray that your will is being done, not what we desire, but what you desire. In the mighty name of Yahshua, in the mighty name of Yahshua, hallelujah. And we thank you that victory is our portion, hallelujah. And we thank you that our latter is greater than our former, for our tomorrow will be better, because we are leaning and depending on you, hallelujah. And we trust you even where we can't trace you, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So these things we ask in your son, Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name, and we consider it done, and we fill it with a hallelujah, knowing that praise confused the enemy, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And keeps us close to you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in all things we give thanks, not some things. In all things we just tell you thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank
Abba.
You.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you've already done enough if you don't decide to do anything else. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is so. Hallelujah. And it is so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Any closing thoughts before we exit tonight?
Hallelujah. What
is that? Wait, somebody said amen. Sound like the baby said amen.
Yeah, that was my son.
Didn't it?
Sorry.
Like the baby said.
Yeah, that was my son.
That was
your
son?
Said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, any closing thoughts before we go, everyone? No? All right. We will see everybody next week on Wednesday at 5:30. God bless you. Walk in the Spirit.
Love you, wow.
And rebuke every demon and devil. Stay in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Keep your mind pure. Let them do what they do. Keep your mind straight. Amen. Wow. Good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love you, wow.